Hey y'all, this podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong adult language. So if you are under 18, be out. We discuss our experiences, thoughts, and tips on ethical non-monogamy from the perspective of a Black married couple. We smart, but we not experts. So this show is for entertainment purposes only. So whether you working out, driving, or listening to us on your home sound system, enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast. This is the Bomber.
And the Bell.
And we are here after PCAP Encore. We made it back, got settled in. I got my show notes together, and we are ready to talk about this thing. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Unlike other podcasts, like the Sweet Life podcast, that's going to have a multi-part episode about this. Shout out to Locke and Tris for really going in on the details. We will not be doing that.
Unless you're a part of our Patreon.
Right. In which case, I think we have at least three. I want to say we had four parts to our PCAP recap.
Yeah.
And we go into details. Like, there's a lot of shit we're not going to be able to talk about in this episode. You could just, you know, sign up, check out those episodes, and then just close your account. It's fine. We won't hold it against you. But yeah, we really go into a lot of details on Patreon. But I want to say that one of the things we wanted to mention is that we are confirmed for Desire.
Riviera Maya.
Yeah, so we're going to Riviera Maya.
Correct.
On March 11th to the 15th mm-hmm. of next year. And we are super excited about that. If you are interested in joining us, fucking go ahead and sign up. I don't know what to tell you. People are going to be mad at us because I was just in a rush and I needed to like book very quickly because, yo, Desire just sells out. Like, them shit sell like hotcakes. Like, we wanted to go in February. I identified some dates in February, and then I was like, yo, check in with, you know, grandma, make sure she's available to take care of the kid. And she comes back at me and says, yo, grandma's available, let's do it. I go back to the website, shit's already sold out.
Yeah.
So I could not wait. I could not wait to get other people in on this. So that's when we're going. We are booked and we are very excited.
Yeah.
Shout out to Casual Swingers for getting their PCAP recap out first. Damn, they are so efficient. I don't know how they do it. You know, they also listen to our podcast. They listen to the Sweet Life podcast. Like, they have time. Somehow they fit the time in to do all of this stuff. Like, I didn't even have the outline for this episode done. And their recap came out. But thank God it did, because they their recap helped me remember a lot of shit that I just forgot. Yeah. And I was like, it's a good thing we didn't rush through this rush and get this episode out, because there were a few things they mentioned. Like, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta talk about that. So I think that's all to say that there'll be a bunch of episodes, a bunch of podcasters that are going to be releasing their PCAP recap. So whatever you don't get from us, you'll probably get from another podcast. So this episode is going to be all about our PCAP recap. But before we get to that, you know, we got to do the hit list.
It's time for the hit list.
The hit list is basically a list of folks, celebrities, semi-celebrities, people we just seen around the block that, you know, we might like to get down with.
So, Belle, why don't you go first? Who's your hit list target this month?
Well, I decided my hit list target is a group. So, let's just say the entire main cast of The Harder They Fall. Like, it was just so much beautiful Blackness in that movie. If you haven't seen it, it is on Netflix. It's a modern Western, based on some historical figures who were contemporaries of each other. And it's well written, it's well shot. It just, you know, is badass. And I would say, you know, I named the whole main cast, but at the top of that list has to be Regina King.
because she's just phenomenal. She's phenomenal in this film and just such a badass and looks great. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just, if you haven't seen it, I don't know how, but if you haven't, please, even if you don't like Westerns, like even if you're like, Westerns aren't my thing, I'd still encourage you to watch it.
Yeah, that film was dope, and I'm going to mention it again later because it will come up, because there's something about PCAP that really pissed me off, and I'm going to mention it later, so yeah. Stay tuned. the movie was absolutely amazing, and I think there's a lot of content on Netflix that's really easy to sort of bypass and mm-hmm. look past because there's so much content on that, and you can see the heart of I'm sure you've seen the poster art for the film on Netflix, and you're probably saying to yourself, you know what, maybe later, or you know, this isn't the night for that. Please, on the next time you have a moment, and this isn't for the kids, so you know, it's not a family movie.
No.
But this, like, if you're in the mood for action, mm-hmm. And black beautifulness,
yes,
just watch it. Just push play. Just don't even think about it. Don't think you're going to find something better to watch. Just play it, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. It is extremely entertaining. So you said the whole cast?
The whole main cast.
The whole main. So you would smash Regina King?
Regina King could get it. Zazie Beetz can get it. Of course, Idris, Jonathan Majors, Lakeith Stanfield. Like, I mean, it is star-studded.
Okay. So you would still give it to Idris, because Idris was looking a little bit ancient in this movie.
Idris still look good. I don't know what you're talking about. He is definitely more seasoned. But
more seasoned,
he looks good.
Seasoned with paprika and salt, pepper.
Yeah.
I feel like Idris's head has gotten very round. I don't know if he gained weight and his cheeks just filled in.
Yeah.
But did you not notice that?
Like I did, and I don't know if it was like how some of the scenes were shot to make his character seem like bigger than everyone, but yeah, his head did look bigger.
It's
still a good looking head though.
What is it, a protractor that you draw a perfect circle with? Is that what that tool is called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I feel like I can draw Idris's head with that. That's the last Idris head joke I'm gonna make. It was just so rough.
Idris hateration.
I got nothing but love for
Idris. Because honestly, like, you could be his doppelganger.
Damn. So. Okay. My head is not round.
No, it's not. Your head is very square. Actually, it's quite rectangular. But I'm just saying, in terms of features, like.
Okay.
He is also like half Ghanaian too.
Oh, I thought he had a Nigerian thing going on. Maybe I'm wrong.
No,
I don't think I've known that.
I think it's Ghanaian. Yeah, his dad was Sierra Leonean and his mom is Ghanaian.
Oh snap! Okay, all right. Shout out to my Ghanaian folks. All right, so let's move on to my hit list target. So my hit list target is probably a little bit obscure. Folks may not be familiar with this woman. Her name is Cleopatra Coleman. Yes, very powerful name. So most recently, she played in Dope Sick. Now, this is a limited series on Hulu about the opioid epidemic. It actually just released. It's starring Michael Keaton.
Who looks terrible in the... But like he's supposed to.
Yeah.
But he's aged a lot, too.
Right. Although I don't... I mean, this guy used to be Batman when I was a kid, so I feel like he should look older than he does.
Yeah.
So it's a very it's a bingeable show, but anyway, this isn't about Dope Sick. It's really about Cleopatra. So she plays like a lesbian love interest of another character on the show who has a very heartbreaking story arc, and she sort of the masculine half of this lesbian couple, which makes her even sexier to me for some reason. I don't know. Like, she always had these nice outfits on in the show.
And like a big belt. That's what you kept commenting on.
Yeah, the belt was always on point. So, you know, she is of mixed race, I think. Oh yeah, half Jamaican and Scottish. Mm. But she has these really, really thick lips. Mm-hmm. You know, this is one of the first things you notice about her, and you know how, you know me and my love of thick mm-hmm. lips. She has kind of an Angelina Jolie thing going on, but I'm talking like 90s Angelina Jolie, when Angelina Jolie was like spectacular looking. I mean, she's still beautiful, but like she was flawless back then. This girl seems like Angelina Jolie, like you know how Pokemon like evolved to the next level.
Yeah.
She's kind of like that. But I don't know, when it comes to these women who kind of have this kind of masculine presentation, like, you know, Left Eye back in the day, Aaliyah, even with Aaliyah, when she used to wear them baggy ass pants, like mm-hmm. she used to wear them baggy
like
clothes.
Tomboy.
Yeah, I like that tomboy kind of look. I don't know, there's a lot of Barbie dolls in Hollywood and in mm-hmm. the music industry, and so when I see like even her, mm-hmm. like she's not, you know, even though I think she's gotten a little bit more of that going on, mm-hmm. You know, the long hair and the fucking skirts and tight pants and shit. I'm like, it's sexy, but damn, that's all we got. Like, I want something different. And mm-hmm. so, Cleopatra Coleman, look her up, just do a Google search and check out images, and you're welcome.
You are listening to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast.
Hey, fellow B&K fans. I know y'all are enjoying the show, but damn, we have to wait a month for each episode? I don't know about you, but that's way too long for me. That is one of the many reasons I support Bomber and Bell on Patreon. They release content on their Patreon every week. I really can't get enough of their Pillow Talk episodes, where they get real personal, and girl, it's like having a backstage pass to your favorite artist. It also doesn't hurt to hear my name shouted out every episode and have ready access to the Bell and the Bomber through their private chat. If y'all want to join in the fun, head to www.patreon.com/blackandkinky and donate a few dollars a month to keep the show going. I know it's for a good cause and all that, but I'm just trying to get my fair share of this sexy ass podcast. Speaking of which, I'm finna finish this episode.
So that is the hit list. Let us know who your hit list targets are. Let us know what you think about our hit list targets. You can email us at blackandkinkylifestyle@gmail.com. Speaking of which, we got one email that I want to just bring attention to. Hey people, it's two simple questions. Where do you suggest black women, aka thick women, shop for lifestyle event clothes? I can't recall if you have been to Desire Resorts. Any recommendation on how to meet couples before attending?
I mean, in terms of like lingerie and stuff, you know, Sydney Rose has all sizes in lingerie. There's if you go to our Instagram, there's a post in terms of lingerie. For clothes, I know Amazon is always my go-to because that two-day shipping, I'm usually last minute with my outfits. But also, you know, Fashion Nova is, you know, big, although they can be problematic at times. And then I don't know. I assume that every major city has one of these, but I don't know. There's no like one national brand, but it's just like a hoochie club store. Like there's a local, like, you know, store near us where I know I can go there and find something cute and club, you know, meetup, mm-hmm. whatever worthy. And it's always, you know, they got metal detectors, like security all over the place. They gonna follow you around the store. I mean, cause the girls be in there like,
you know, snatchies.
Right. So, but I feel like just go to your local hood, the shopping district of your local hood, and I'm sure there's a store there, and they always have you know, plus size, fun size section. Mm. So that would be my suggestion.
And as far as the second question, I mean, we can ask view this. We're still trying to figure this one out ourselves. So we did discover a website, forums.desiremexico.com. where you can sign up and you'll get all your questions answered about desire on that forum. It's actually been very helpful. There's going to be one day where I just obsessively just look through because I have a bunch of questions that mm-hmm. I need answered before our trip. But from what I've seen, it's a great forum. You'll need to like sign up and register or whatever to get access to all of the threads. But there seems to be some really good information on there because I thought information about desire would be easy to find, like real information. I'm not just talking about the sponsorship, like mm-hmm. real information from people who've been there. And this has been the best place to find it. So I would check that out. I'll actually include the link in the show notes for this episode. All right. So with that, let's start with our PCAP Encore mm-hmm. recap. Now, full disclosure, I'll start with saying that we are going to forget some shit and some people. So forgive us if we met you at PCAP and you considered it a very interesting or engaging discussion and you assumed we'd talk about it. We may not get to it. And just like Miami, like I said, there's a lot of shit that went down in Miami that I've never talked about on this show. And the same will be true here. There's just a lot of shit that went down that we just don't have time to get into. One of the things that happened is I apparently sleptwalked into a MFM situation at PCAP. took a fucking sleeping pill, and you know, sometimes you take them shits and you go to sleep, but you don't really go to sleep.
Apparently, I feel like this only happens to you, but okay.
It's a real thing, yo. Mm-hmm. I've suffered from insomnia for a long time. I found a medication that works for me, but apparently I shouldn't be taking that shit at hotel takeovers. So there's a lot of shit that went down, but we're going to talk about the highlights. So let's talk about, we're going to start with like the best things about PCAP. It's a long list. And then we're going to talk about some of the things that pissed me off about PCAP Encore. Sorry, this is going to be fun. So I just want to talk about the podcasters that were there. So let's talk about Wonderless Swingers. Number one is Kate, true MVP. Mm-hmm. Yo, she really knocked it out of the park with this one. And I feel like she's going to be like the go-to person, or should be the go-to person, when it comes to putting together a good swinger event, a good hotel takeover.
Yeah, she just really thinks of everything.
Yeah, and I don't know. I really liked this one mm-hmm. above the last one. Like, I had to reflect on it.
Oh, you liked it more than Miami?
Yeah, I did like it more than Miami.
Oh.
And the reason why I liked it more than Miami, because, first of all, the club was dope. We're going to talk about that later on. The club was dope. The DJs were dope.
The DJs were much better this time. Just hands down. Much better.
Superior.
Yes.
Okay. Superior. Breakfast and lunch included. So there was like,
that was also a win. Yeah.
We didn't have to think about what to eat mm-hmm. all the time. And that really took the pressure off. Like, yeah. We didn't have to think about that.
Especially when you're like recovering from the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being able to roll out of bed and go downstairs was very helpful.
I mean, the decorations were pretty good. Mm-hmm. And somehow, even with all that going on, and I'm sure Kate had to deal with a lot of stuff that, you know, any event creator would have to deal with regarding security, regarding, you know, just making sure everybody's comfortable. But I always felt like she was always accessible.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, it was never like, oh, where's Kate? I need to ask her something. I can't find Kate. Can somebody find Kate for me? She was somehow always there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there are like clones of her around, but she was somehow always around. Like, I would always come to the lobby and I would just see her there. And I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
And she clearly cared about the events and making sure things were happening the way they were. So shout out to her. You know, the casual swinger said it well when they mentioned, I mean, she ain't even from this country, son. She's not even from the U.S. And somehow she's like throwing these events in the U.S., finding these venues and getting shit done. Sweet Life Podcast, another podcast that was in the house. You know, they're good friends of ours. They really did. They were at the PCAP. They were at PCAP Miami, but they did not. They weren't like one of the podcast hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So this time they had like a really formal position.
Yeah.
And so they led their own seminar. And I'm telling you, it was just worth it to be there. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they had this cool little, you remember that little, they had like a little rap sing along or some shit.
Uh-huh.
And their dialogue on organic versus planned play just really, and you know, they talked about it on their show, but it was really kind of interesting that to see them lead that discussion and see that discussion evolve, because I was thinking about it for the whole time we were there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, when I came in there, I was team planned, but then like, I was like, nah, I think I'm team organic now, because our whole like PCAP Dallas experience was very organic.
It was.
So Casual Swingers was also there. They weren't part of the formal list.
Yeah, they made a surprise appearance. I think they like announced that they would be there maybe a week or a couple weeks mm-hmm. before the event. So, but it's always nice to see them and hang out with them. Mickey's always hilarious in the life of the party. So, and Mallory's always looks amazing. So it's always great to have them around.
I can't really imagine Mickey not being hilarious. I'm trying to think, like, does he have like a serious bone in his body? Like where he's not like, I feel like his timing is always good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to be like him, but I'm like, yo, I don't have, I'm not that witty, you know?
Yeah.
So they're good. We got to spend a lot more time with them. I remember like, there were a few times where we just kind of caught them in the lobby or mm-hmm, like, yeah. you know, even at Colette, I got to talk to them on the ride back from the club. And
well, I think that's one thing that I liked about this one more. It was that we got to spend more time with people, like mm-hmm. just downtime, just like we're just chilling mm-hmm. and like just talking shit or whatever.
I mean, how is that different from Miami? Because I was trying to figure out, I'm like, we were talking to people in Miami, but it felt different here. And I'm not sure what we did that was different.
I don't know. Maybe because it was like the second go around and it was a more intimate event. That at least for me, there was like less nervousness, less anxiety. Mm-hmm. It just seemed easier. I don't know.
When we were talking to people, like I think in Miami, I was kind of just trying to make sure we got to the next thing. Yeah. I think I was pressured mm-hmm. to get to the next thing. And, you know, in Dallas, I made a concerted effort to ignore that voice in my head that was like, yo, we have to see what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. Like we've been talking to these people for long enough. We need to move on to something else. And this time I was like, you know what? If we're enjoying the conversation, we're just going to see, we're going to keep it right here. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that happened a lot, especially at the first theme party. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what the title of the theme was?
It was Arcade versus Superhero, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the DJs were there. The DJs were really good that night. but we spent very little time dancing and partying.
Yeah.
We spent the entire time talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
And I think that night we spent some time talking to Mickey and Mallory, and I yes. want to shout out their costumes. Mickey had the best Joker costume I've ever seen in my life, hands down. He had that blotchy, like Dark Knight Joker makeup on, mm-hmm. And it was perfect. So apparently Mallory had helped him out with the makeup, but he had the costume. The costume was tight. It was that purple mm-hmm. green striped joint. He apparently had a cane that didn't make it to the event in time, but I would have loved to see the costume in full. It's sad that we couldn't take a picture of his face and the costume together because it was perfect. Mallory,
they don't show their faces.
Nah.
Oh, I didn't
nah,
know.
Nah, they're just like us. They don't show their faces. Mm. And it's a shame. I mean, I feel like if we took a picture of Mickey and just, you know, and he displayed that, like, I don't know if people would know it was him, mm-hmm. you know, but Mallory had on a great Catwoman costume. So I believe she was like the Catwoman, the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman from Batman Returns, mm-hmm. Which is my favorite Catwoman, because it's the only Catwoman I know of that was both psychotic, sexy, and like she was really the first Harley Quinn for me. Mm-hmm. Like, because Harley Quinn is like psychotic. Catwoman isn't really supposed to be psychotic. Right, She's just supposed to be a thief.
Yeah.
And that in Michelle Pfeiffer just brought psychotic to it. So we spent a lot of time just talking to folks. Getting back to our shout out. So Monogamous Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Those two just really work out a lot.
Yes, they do.
Kate took some pictures by the infinity pool that I really want to see at some point. I saw them taking pictures and their framing was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Expansive Connections. They also, this is a relationship coaching service. There was a team there, a relationship coaching team, I should say. So they had quite a seminar. They're one of the few seminars we actually ended up attending, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate because we couldn't attend more seminars, but yeah. We happened to see theirs. There were a few new terms around, a few new nuances around bisexuality that they mentioned.
Yeah, so they brought up being bisensual. And so I guess the a premise of that is, you know, like you enjoy, you know, making out with women, kissing women, you know, touching women, caressing, all that kind of stuff. But you don't really want to have sex with women. And I was like, oh, that's me. So I guess, like, you just enjoy the sensuality of being with a woman and women just in general. But that's not like your preferred sexual preference in terms of coming to completion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I hadn't heard bisensual before. So I was like, oh, that's nice. That's sexy.
Yeah.
I can be bisensual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember when Expansive Connections mentioned it, I raised my hand immediately. I was like, yo, you need to explain, because they just said bisensual. I was like, you need to explain what that shit means, because that shit, I think that's the name we've been looking for since we entered the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that's a good conversation starter. Somebody says, so what's your interest? You say, well, you know, I like dick, but I'm bisexual. And they'll, you know, that's a great conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another bi term that came up in that seminar was bi necessary. This actually came up from an attendee, and I had never heard that one before.
Me either. But I also feel like I ain't necessary nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, I guess what she was explaining was like, there are some situations where the woman in the relationship, you know, feels like they have to engage in some bisexual activities with the other wife for the male partners. Mm-hmm. Or because the other partner is bisexual. The other female partner is bisexual, but she's not. But to make the four-way connection happen, she got to get down with some bi shit. As far as I'm concerned, like, you never have to do anything that you don't want to do or that you're fully into. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing where you're like, oh, let me try it. And then you're like, you know, not for me. But, like, if you know that, like, that's not what you're into, just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means that the scenario is not going to work out, mm-hmm. then it just wasn't meant to be.
There are women who that's not really their first decision. Like, that's not really what they want to do. It's not really part of their, like, priorities of play styles, mm-hmm. right? To play with another woman. But they can tolerate it, right? So they end up doing it. They're not really into it. But it's something that if it happens, it makes the play situation happen in a more organic or pleasing way to everyone involved. And, you know, folks might consider that, you know, that necessary term as like, okay, well, this is a small sacrifice I can make in the play situation. Like, it's not something I really want to do, but I can do it, right? Versus somebody like you that's like, no, I can't do it.
No.
Like, no.
I'm not going to do it.
So I thought that was interesting. We learned some new terms. Average swingers. They, so Jay and Angie are always quite the pair. Very funny, very entertaining. Angie, I feel like she gets sexier every time I see her. I had some fun experiences with Angie this time around. I'm not going to lie. Like, I actually got I got more time with other podcasters too.
Yeah.
And a lot more memorable time. So this is one of them. I left a negative review on Average Swingers very early in our podcast career.
Mm-hmm.
And I admitted it on this show. But Jay and Angie decide that they're going to have a t-shirt made with the review I made on their show. And they got two t-shirts made, one for me and one for Jay. And so during their seminar, they insisted that I attend the seminar and read out the review on their show. You know, I'll own it. I'll own what I said, you know.
But nobody disagrees with the review. Like, any feedback on the review is not like, oh, that's not accurate. No, the review is completely accurate.
Yeah.
It was just the fact that you did it like under our podcast name.
I was not anonymous.
No.
I thought it was though when I wrote it.
Like, what did you think? What, you just thought like they would never like know who we are or something like that? Like they would just never see it?
I mean, they were pretty big back then and we were barely known. Yeah. I never even thought we'd even cross paths. So here we are. It was all in good fun, you know. Yeah. No hard feelings. It's really weird though, you know. Jay is a very humble man because even though he knew I left that review, this dude was helping us out with our podcast, mm-hmm. like sending us tips and advice, and he knew we wrote that review. Like, so I'm just like, yo, this is the nicest person. Like Jay is a great dude. If you ever have the opportunity to meet him, like it like take the opportunity because he is somebody you'll be glad that you met. Like you on your deathbed of the list of people in your life you're glad you're met, he will always be on it. I'm sure he'll be on everyone he knows, he'll be on that list. He could have shitted on us. He could have been like, what? Fuck you and your podcast, all bitch. Right. He could have been on that shit, yeah. But you know, he helped us out. So shout out to Jay. Shout out to Jay and Angie. Okay, sexy attendees. Also wanted to give a shout out to Penn and Paige from Swinger Diaries. They were just there.
Yeah.
We got some time to talk to them. That was dope. Mm. Also, there was this sexy young couple. I mentioned them because, you know, there's this sexy young couple. One of them had on a Spider Woman's costume. Mm-hmm. But she reminded me of this actress, this Cuban actress that was in the last Bond movie. Her name is Ana de Armas. Mm-hmm. Sexy ass Bond girl. But I mentioned her because I just saw the movie like yesterday, and I was watching it with a vanilla friend of mine, and I was like, oh man, because we were both watching it. He was like, yo, she's sexy. I'm like, yeah, she's damn sexy. She reminds me of this girl we met in Dallas. And I just said that in happenstance. He looks at me. He's like, what do you mean, girl you met in Dallas? Just meeting young, random, beautiful chicks in Dallas. You and your wife. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was awesome. I want to also give a shout out to the black couples from Dallas that we met. We met some locals that came through at PCAP. But there was one couple who, you know, we had a really great organic experience with them. Mm-hmm. But when we saw their room, I was blown away. Mm-hmm. By the shit that they had in their room. First of all, like, organic play is really important. Like, it's, you know, organic play meaning, you know, you're just going with the flow. Mm-hmm. But as far as like planned, you know, when people are like decorating their rooms, yeah. And just like, you know what, if play doesn't happen, that's fine. But if it does happen and it happens in this room, we're going to make sure that when motherfuckers walk in this bitch, that they know what time it is. Mm-hmm. And we walked in this couple's room.
And we were like, oh, y'all ready. Like,
yo. We talk about decorating rooms all the time, but they went the extra mile. Do you remember like the shit they had?
It was like black lights. There was an air purifier, like the whole bar setup, like, you know, everything. Anything that you could imagine that you needed in a room to prepare for play, it was there.
They had a coffee grinder, a coffee bean grinder in the room.
I think that was just like for a regular drinking coffee throughout their stay, but yeah.
You know how gangster that is? Would you like a cup of coffee? And they fucking grinding beans in this bitch? Are you fucking serious? They had the lights on the ceiling, on the wall. Oh my gosh. I was just so impressed. I was like, y'all the swingers that that we want to be when we grow up.
So has it inspired you to start decorating our room again?
No. No. I mean, like, if we get, you know, because we have a pretty decent room at Desire, I'm, you know, when we go to Desire, I might do it because, you know, we won't be hopefully bringing a ton of shit with us. I know, but the thing is, they're local, so they didn't have to fly right, with yeah, all of that they shit. Drove,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we had to drive to a hotel, oh yeah, sure. Oh yeah, sure. I would hook it up. Mm-hmm. But it'll be a long time before, I don't know the next time that's going to happen. Got fucking COVID rates going up and shit. I don't mm-hmm. know what's going to happen. All right. So let's talk about the hotel, because the hotel was dope.
It was real cute. There's like a little boutique hotel. It had like, I guess in the lobby area or the first floor or whatever, it had like these little, I guess, like kind of living room set up. So like these different couches and chairs, made it really homey. It was nice. I liked it. It was funky. Had a little piano in the lobby.
Oh, I forgot about the damn piano in the mm-hmm. lobby. That shit was just sitting there.
Yeah.
But it's so weird, like around that piano, I feel like that was a good little congregation spot.
It was,
like people
yeah.
would just lean over it. People would sit on the piano. Mm-hmm. Like there was like, you know, the assistant that would be there. Like, you know, the big PCAP sign was by the piano. So I'd yeah. be talking to the assistant. I had some good conversations about that piano. Like, I don't know if all those conversations would have happened if the piano wasn't sitting there.
Yeah.
So the lobby was beautiful. And then there was the rooftop.
Yeah, the rooftop was really nice. So it had an indoor part, which had like cute little lounge seating. But then that outdoor, that infinity pool, man, like the view, just like the sunset up there was gorgeous.
Perfect view of the sunset. Mm-hmm. And it was that sunset was the reason why we missed the freaking, what was it? I think we missed the Shibari classes yeah. because of that sunset. Mm-hmm. And we missed Drag Bingo because of the sunset. So you're going to hear about those from other podcasters. I'm not going to take away their shine.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, like, we were just talking to people on, you know, at the Infinity Pool on the last, what was it? I think it was the last day or the day
Sunday?
Before that.
Yeah.
The weather was warm enough for us to actually be in the pool. And
yeah,
it was a heated pool.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting because when we released our episode, we talked about the fact that it was going to be too cold to get in the pool. And then Kate sent me a message saying that the pool was heated, so I was like, okay, well, Belle, let's make sure we bring our swimsuits and
mm-hmm.
shit. Thank God we did.
Yeah.
Because we were definitely in that shit like all day. And a lot of other people were in there, and we were just talking to people. So the infinity pool was dope, the view was dope, and at night, you didn't get much of this, but I took full advantage.
Mm-hmm.
They had a giant fire pit, pretty big fire pit, and this you know, the fire, I love how people look in the firelight.
Mm-hmm.
They look absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time where before I slept, walked into an MFM situation, I was out there and just talking to people. And apparently I was making out with girls, women up there by the fire.
Oh yeah. Very the whole romantic. Bunch of sleepwalking interactions.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause I remember like I would be talking to somebody and they'd just be smiling and be talking and be like, can I kiss you? And like, yes. And then I'd just be kissing and it was just in the firelight. It was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the hotel, rooftop was off the hook. Talk about the playrooms. What was going on with the playrooms at the hotel?
So it was similar to last time. It was a playroom and then there was a central room. But those were nice. They were like lit with red lights. And they had, you know, all of the necessary, accessories in the central room, or in one of the rooms, there was the mechanical, I don't know, sex toy thing that you're supposed to ride. We couldn't figure out how to use it properly, I don't think.
We tried,
but it was in there. So yeah, so it was a room that had that in there. And then there's another room that had the beds for play in there. And they also had the massage table. So we did some massaging and got some massages. And you had other massage interactions.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, there was one night where I think it was the night you went to sleep early.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not sleeping early. And I just went into the central room giving people massages. And yeah, I got into some shenanigans,
mm-hmm.
to say the least. And that was fine. But then the second time we went in there, you, me, and another couple was in there.
Yeah.
And Yes, I'm really organic. You know, it was magical in that room. I just want to say it was magical in that room. It was the final night of PCAP. And, yeah. You know, the final night can be a little interesting because, you know, you have some people that aren't playing at all because they got piped to death before the last night. But then you have those that didn't get piped out enough. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yo, fuck it. Let's go in the playroom and see what kind of magic flows. And I'm telling you, there was one point we were in the playroom. I'm like, oh, shit. All the people I wanted to play with are in here right now. All of them are in here. Mm. And, but, you know, we were keeping it organic. We were just in our own little world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we made things happen. We had a little massage train going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was feeling good about that whole, my spirit was feeling good about that whole situation. So that was the hotel. The hotel was dope. I want to talk about Colette now. Colette, hands down, is my new favorite lifestyle club.
Specifically, Colette Dallas.
Colette Dallas. Yeah, yeah. Colette Dallas. Very important. Colette Dallas. If you're in Dallas, you got to go to Colette. Now, we went to Colette in New Orleans, mm-hmm. Which the crowd was dope. I felt the crowd was really nice. But the facility itself, I did not like that much.
I wonder if we went when it was less crowded, will we feel better about it? But I don't know.
What was less crowded?
The club, Colette in New Orleans.
You're saying?
Because it was really crowded when we went.
Right.
I'm saying, will we feel differently about the actual club had it been less crowded? I don't know.
You mean you think that if it was less crowded, we would feel better about it?
Yeah, because I think one of my things was just like trying to get to the playrooms and stuff like that. It was just ridiculous, crazy. Like, it was so packed in there.
Yeah, and I'm sure Dallas probably has those nights too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I'd feel differently mm-hmm. at all. I mean the fact that it was crowded meant like you got a good flavor for what kind of people come.
Yeah.
And there were some sexy people in there. Mm-hmm. And there were some sexy people in this club. Mm-hmm. But the club space was just nicer. It was cleaner. It was just, I think they recently had some work done. The couches, the dance floor, the stage. They had a little like VIP area. Like it was like a little balcony area that overlooked the dance floor.
That was nice.
Their play space was pretty dope. Like they had these red and blue lights. It was really clean looking. The security was on point. And we had a little VIP area for the PCAP folks.
Yeah.
So apparently this is owned by John and Jackie. I think it's Melfi. Mm-hmm. They've been in the news. Look, they deserve this publicity because
I was like, for good reason.
Yeah. They deserve it because the club was just top notch, and it wasn't one of those clubs that breaks the bank. Like, it's not like a cheap club, but it's like, I think it's less expensive if you consider membership and door fee than Taboo here is in Maryland. You know, we had a discount because we were part of the PCAP crew,
right.
But, that club is top notch, man. I was very impressed. Hmm. We did not make it to the playroom. One thing I feel like it was the problem I had with Colette is the problem I have with all these lifestyle clubs. And that's the porn that they're playing. It's like you go in Colette. And the thing is, I feel like at Colette, Colette Dallas, it was more visible because they have all this erotic art all over the club. Beautiful art, classy shit. Mm-hmm. And then you look on the TV screen and it's like the most raunchy porn playing. Yeah. And it doesn't really have to be that way. I mean, I don't know if these clubs sign some kind of contract with a porn producer. Mm-hmm. So they're just like, whatever, we'll just play your porn. You just, you know, write us a check or something. Like, I don't think it's that. Like, it's so easy to just cast a tablet from like Pornhub or like any of the 10,000 other streaming porn services. Yeah. That actually have playlists of classy porn. Like you can get like women, like for example, women friendly porn. Like that tends to be a lot more sensual. It's easy to look at and not so distracting. Like if you go in a club and you're talking to a couple and you guys are trying to get to know each other, I'm looking, you know, I might be talking to a female mm-hmm. and then I look in the corner and I just see a guy like fucking fisting a bitch on screen.
Not fisting her.
Like, I mean, it doesn't get that extreme, but you know what I'm saying. Like, if I'm really getting to know you, like, it would help to not have a fucking...
It can be jarring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just a kind of a message to all the lifestyle clubs out there. Like, just easy on that fucking hardcore porn. Like, it's not even necessary.
No, it's not.
Like, even, you know, I don't know. So, but Colette Dallas, best club. I'd say it's number one for me. Number two is Taboo. Taboo moved down to number two. Never thought the day would come.
You gotta go to Mr. Moore Club.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
So in that club, I also got the opportunity to dance with Angie on stage. Uh-huh. And that was fun. Got to meet some other local black club, black swingers. And yeah, I think those were the highlights. Dallas, city of fucking black businesses. It was not difficult to find black businesses in Dallas.
Oh, not at all. Mm-mm. I mean, but I wouldn't have expected anything else. a pretty large black contingent in Dallas. So we got to try some good barbecue from a couple of black restaurants, which was nice. Meet some nice folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I think just a random thing here that I didn't want to forget. So I think Promisant, I think that's the name of mm-hmm. the brand. So Promisant makes a bunch of like sex products, including lubes and sex toys and shit. Even some supplements. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give them a shout out, particularly because of the lube. Mm. You might not have noticed this because, you know, all you said was like, can you get some lube? And you know, me and you had some amazing sex during Dallas. So mm-hmm. shout out. So thanks, Kate, for that.
Yeah. Shout out to Kate and Promisant for yeah. amazing sex happening. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't just us, but you know.
No, I mean, it was part of the, a part of what was in
the swag bag.
Yeah, the swag bag. So we had a play session with another couple.
We did. Yeah.
And the play session was pretty nice. It was pretty epic.
Mm-hmm.
I say it on our Patreon, but like, you know, we played with this couple and I'll say it again here. Like, this chick was riding my dick. This was riding that shit like it used to bully her in high school. Like, it was aggressive. And I haven't had a chick ride me like that in a long, long time. Mm. But no, that was a great play experience. But I highlighted because you were tired. I was tired and we got back to the room and, you know, I was trying to smash again, yeah. But it was like, you know, I was just kind of being lazy with it. I was uh-huh. like, you know what? I could bust a couple of more nuts tonight. And, you're like, okay, we'll get some lube. I'm tired. So this is going to be a short session, man. I slapped that lube on and I slide that shit in and you were just like, oh shit. Holy shit. I didn't expect that. And you started dirty talking like, give me that meat, nigga.
I'm pretty sure I did not say that. I don't know. I think, like, I don't know. Like, the sexual energy from... Because I was tired. Like, I was the one who initiated us leaving our play partner's room because I was falling asleep. And I just didn't want to fall asleep in there. But that's just me. It wouldn't have been a problem, but I just didn't want to fall asleep in there. And so I was like, okay, let's go to the room. And I was tired and I thought I was going to go to sleep. And I don't know. It's just like, yeah, the dick slid in and everything woke up.
Everything woke up. So yeah, we were having sex for quite a while.
Yeah, that
ended up
time.
Being a long ass session.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole last day was really nice. Cause you know, we had our little edible and we drank and I feel like,
It was the perfect balance.
The balance between like having the right buzz and that right edible energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just on point and it felt so good. So yeah. So it was a good night. And yeah, so let's talk about some of the worst things about this trip. Worst things, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's get ready. I know Kate, when she listens to this episode, she's gonna be like, oh no. You know, what happened? Or she's gonna be like, what the fuck are they complaining about now? All right, so number one, we're gonna have a little bit of fun with this, but this one is actually pretty serious. So Dallas is fucking huge. It's yes. a big ass city and it looks much it's much bigger than it looks.
Mm-hmm. It looks closer together.
Yes. And so every time we had to get in an Uber to go somewhere, like if we needed to get an Uber to go to dinner, it was a 20-minute ride.
Yeah.
Every time.
Well, that not only was it a 20-minute ride, like it was a 10 to 15-minute wait just for the Uber to get to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like a 20-minute ride to wherever we needed to go. which is just really strange for us because, I mean, we live in a big metropolitan area. So, like, anytime we call an Uber, like, when we're here,
it's two minutes, five minutes.
Like, if it's 10 minutes, that's, like, something, like, out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. But every single time we called an Uber in Dallas, it was, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, that was unreal.
Yeah. We just weren't prepared for that.
Like, you would call an Uber 15 minutes, like, oh, okay, I guess we're just fucking sitting here in the lobby.
Right.
And waiting for this thing.
Yeah.
That was number one. Number two, we mentioned Harder They Fall earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm going to admit, so one of the themes was, what was it, a cowboy mashup or something like that?
Yeah, cowboy and leather mashup.
And we had the hardest time, or at least I had the hardest time finding the right look for that theme, because I just wanted to do the cowboy thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't do a lot of cowboy shit, but this is Dallas. I understand. It's all good. It's all love.
Right.
And so, you know, I just ended up buying some generic ass cowboy hat with fucking stars around it and shit, you know. And right before we go to PCAP, we see Harder They Fall. A fucking black Western.
Mm-hmm.
With so much, like
costume inspiration.
Yes. And right before PCAP, like right before. And I'm just like, oh, well, this is a bitch. We had no time to really. I knew what my costume was going to be. I was going to be something blue. All I know is I was going to have a blue color going on. I was going to have a long jacket. I would have looked so clean. So mm-hmm. clean. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I think we nailed that day anyway.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
So number three is I really regretted not something I really regretted for the video game or arcade versus superhero
mm-hmm.
theme. So that was one of the coolest themes. We saw a lot of great costumes mm-hmm. there. But what we also found was that there were a few people who were really lost on what to do for this theme. And I'm not saying that because we saw their costume and we were like, come on, man, like, what the fuck are you doing? It wasn't that. Like, they literally came to us and were like, oh, your costumes look good. We didn't know what to do. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
All right.
You didn't know what to do. You know, because they were, you know, I think that at least one person was like, you know, I just got a fucking Pac-Man cape and that's my costume.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, girl, I'm looking at her body. I'm like, what? Do you know what you could have done with this body? So one thing I wish I would have done is because I'm realizing that a lot of people they didn't really grow up in the video game age. Mm-hmm. Like there's a renaissance that started, you know, well after Pong and fucking Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And it hasn't stopped. Video game, there's a lot of sexiness in video games mm-hmm. right now. Some might argue there's too much sexiness. And what I wish I would have done in the WooVa app, and that was basically the app that we were using to communicate, and you can, you know, communicate with other PCAP attendees, and you could, you know, create these channels with advice and, you know, topics of discussion. One thing I wish I would have did and been a little bit more aggressive on, and somebody might have done this. I know Kate had had tried to put together some ideas on the website, mm-hmm. but like, as a real gamer, like, there's so many like simple ideas I could have just opened up a channel and just been like, yo, look, this is what you can do if you're lost on this theme, because it's so easy. You could, like, half the time you could just put on a leotard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's purple, that's like 10 Mortal Kombat fucking characters right there.
Yeah.
You know, put on some boots. You can put on like a little ninja mask, and that's it. Like, mm-hmm. that's all you need. And that's like 10 characters. Just pick one.
Yeah, so we did Street Fighter costumes, specifically Street Fighter 2. And I was Cammy. And I was actually really proud of this costume. Like, I feel like I, like, put together a solid costume.
Oh, you nailed that shit. You nailed it.
Yeah, so I had, like, the green leotard and the boots and the socks. And I even had some, like, extensions on my hair that, were, like, had blonde tips. Because the character has blonde hair. But I won't dye my shit blonde. Mm-hmm. yes, to have the little... Mine ended up being, like, pigtails, not braids, but... Yeah, I thought it was cute. And I had my little hat, too. Mm-hmm. The little beret, red beret. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, your costume was really, really on point. Like, it fit perfectly. It was just really nice. Now, since you were Cammy, I was going to go as somebody else, but I decided we should match. Mm-hmm. And so I went as Guile or Goulet, as Mickey from Casual Swingers pointed out. You know, if you know anything about Street Fighter and the Guile character, he's been there since the second one. Like, he's one of the oldest Street Fighter characters, but he also has blonde hair. So mm-hmm. I got some like yellow spray paint, yeah. Hairspray, and sprayed my hair for the first fucking time in my life. Like, like had a color in my fucking hair.
It looked decent. Yeah. It wasn't too bad.
It looked pretty fucking good. I was proud of that look. Mm-hmm. You know, it actually inspired me to get a little bit more creative about this when we go on our next little swinger adventure. Yeah.
The Bomb is Bougie Broadcast.
Okay. So there are two parts to this. One of them is the Black Connection assumption. That's what I titled it. Mm-hmm. Now, there was something... Now, this is inspired by something Trist had said, and I'm going to see if I can, like, pull up the audio for this. There was something that she said during our session on approaching Black couples in the lifestyle that we had at PCAP Encore. And I realized when she was saying it that I was so focused on making sure the seminar was flowing that I didn't realize the implication of what she's saying represented a fear and concern that I have sometimes about how we as Bomber and Belle approach Black people in the lifestyle.
I think we have our own stereotype within our culture itself, like, and especially in the lifestyle. You think because you see another person of color, like, oh, there's another Black couple, so we good,
you right.
know, we are automatically going to click. If no, like, that's not a thing. Like, so you're approaching me because you think that we're the same, mm-hmm. and we're only the same based on the outside. But I'm still a person, and we still have to have that connection. So we have that internal thing also that happens in the lifestyle, not just with the opposite race.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody is not the same, and it's all about finding that chemistry and that connection. And yes, we may have some commonalities because we're all of our part of the same diaspora, but that doesn't mean that, you know, we'll still have that connection. So absolutely.
What she said was, it was something to the effect of avoiding the assumption that just because we are both Black, we're going to have a connection mm-hmm. in the lifestyle. Now, I can very much respect that, or Black individual, especially one as attractive as Trist, for admitting something like that. But you've yourself admitted that, like, just because we're Black and we happen to be in the lifestyle, don't think that the sparks are going to fly. Mm-hmm. Don't think that means we're going to play and we're going to have sexy time and we're going to be hanging out the whole time we're here because we have a connection because we're both Black. Now, there was a moment I had with Black couples at PCAP that reminded me of the assumption that we could possibly be making, the false assumption that we could be making, that we are having a connection with couples because that, you know, they're Black and we're Black. You know, we make sure that we engage all Black couples that will welcome us to do so when we're at events, when we're at clubs, when we're at parties. Like, I make, especially when we're in, like, predominantly white spaces. Mm-hmm. If we see another Black couple, I'll make sure to greet them. I'll make sure to just, you know, just shout out the fact that, yo, you're another Black couple. It's good to see you. Mm-hmm. It's good to see you out here doing things. But there was a moment, particularly on the last night of the PCAP Encore, that made me so uncomfortable. It silenced me for a while, and I didn't know what to do with it. So the last night of PCAP, that was the formal night. You know, everybody was looking really good, really sexy. Everybody had their little suits and dresses on and shit. Everybody was looking fresh. I forgot to talk about the fact that there was a fucking
burlesque
dancer that was off the fucking chain. Mm-hmm. That was dope. Thanks again for that, Kate. But, you know, just, you know, given a sense of what the layout, there we go, the layout of the club. There was a dance floor in front by the stage. And, you know, then, you know, there were some big round tables that were beyond the dance floor. So there was stage, dance floor, and then all these round tables, each table with about four seats, fitting about four seats of people. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yes.
Now, I was going over the seating arrangement in my head. In hindsight, I noticed that the Black couples were all seated separately. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't have that, you know, situation where, you know, there was a group of Black people around a table or a couple of tables just sort of, you know, fellowshipping. Mm-hmm. Everyone was separated. And it wasn't just them. There were a few other couples, too, although there were some groups of couples that were really, you know, close together. But I realized that this created a situation where if you're a couple sitting at a table, you have these two seats. It's almost like there's an environmental suggestion that you have space for two people to join you. If two people come up to those seats and they take those seats, right? You are now blocking that couple from welcoming other couples.
Right, yeah.
Okay? In other words, you could indirectly be cock-blocking a couple by sitting at their table with them. Now, sometimes that's okay if you're the couple they want to be with, if you're the couple they're trying to play with. But I was just reflecting on the fact that, well, Belle, you made it very clear that you were not going to play as the Belle. If this couple had been interested in playing with other couples, were we blocking their chances of doing that by occupying the seats? What if this couple is not interested in having us here at this moment? What if we're making the false assumption of a race-based connection? And that was the question that was haunting me in that space. I don't know if you noticed it, but there was a good 5 minutes where I wasn't saying anything. And that was why. Now, I feel like you have more confidence in our sex appeal as a couple than I do.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you'd be thinking, oh, we're the shit. And I'm like, I don't know if we are. Yeah. Because I'm just like, I don't know. Like, if you're not into dark-skinned niggas, you're not really going to be feeling me like that. You know? So that was the thought I had.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, well, several reasons. One, I still ended up playing as a Belle, even though I had set that parameter. but no, I never, like, I guess I saw it as like instead of like, oh, let me not like occupy this space to potentially cock block, I'm like, let me occupy this space so that this couple doesn't look or feel isolated. Because I wouldn't want to feel like that. And so that is kind of my perspective. But I mean, there is obviously another side to it. And I didn't think about that. And I guess, you know, that's kind of, you have to have enough savvy to read the cues of the couple to see, like, do they want us here, you know, right now, or so I need to get up and leave, or are they, you know, ready to move on, but maybe don't know how to say that. And so, and I think I am, I'm okay enough at reading those cues most of the time. But yeah, that's definitely a consideration. But like, I need something else to think about while I'm talking to people.
Yeah. I mean, you guys seem pretty engaged. But it's one of those things that you don't think we need to think about, that we should think about, especially at an event like PCAP, where we're content creators. So we hold a degree of power. So you could imagine how in the world as a couple do you say to the Bomber and the Belle, like, yo, can y'all get y'all black asses up and move on? Because we trying to fuck tonight, and y'all don't look like y'all trying to fuck. Y'all look like y'all trying to talk. I mean, we trying to bust nuts tonight, okay?
Yeah, listen, if we talk your ears off and y'all trying to fuck, please tell us. Go ahead. It's fine. We will not feel no type of way.
Yeah, I mean, we had a whole episode where we talk about signs that a couple isn't interested.
Yeah.
You know? The other thought I had, and I call this when black space is not on the agenda. Now, there are some times where black people, forgive me, there are some times where black people are specifically searching for white spaces or do not care about the racial makeup of the space or the play partners that they have. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Now the black couples we tend to talk about are, you know, that are in lifestyle white spaces. We tend to talk about black couples that are in lifestyle white spaces, spaces that are made up of predominantly white crowds. And I think we talk about this black couple because when we find, you know, I think when it comes to our own experience, when we were looking for experiences, you know, we're just doing the basic things. We're like Googling what are the lifestyle parties, where are they at, you know, and oftentimes we found ourselves, I mean, oftentimes if you look online, you're going to find a lifestyle party, but it's going to be a white lifestyle party. you know, these parties are the things that you don't have to know a friend who is a swinger to get in. You don't have to be part of a Facebook group. You know, if you just Google search something, you'll find those parties. They'll probably be predominantly white crowds. And so the black people that are going to those parties that are looking for people that look like them, those are the black people we tend to talk about, because that's who we were. But we recognize that not all black people are like that. And for those, for my white brothers and sisters out there, this is why you find a lot of black couples in a sea of non-black couples, right? Oftentimes they're looking and this is all they find. Even PCAP, you can Google PCAP and you'll find it, right? Mm-hmm. But there's another reason why you might see one or two black people at a predominantly white party, and it's because they were looking for that space. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about these folks. And sometimes it's not like there are black couples who look for white spaces and that's all they do. Sometimes, you know, there are black couples that usually go to black parties, but sometimes they might, you know, wanna deviate. Switch it up. Yeah. And I want to talk about this because I don't feel like we talk about it enough. Mm-hmm. And I want to, because I know there are black people who might listen to this show who are probably like, yo, I'm okay with white spaces. Like, I look for white spaces. White people are fucking fun. I totally get that shit. Mm-hmm. Especially like the older swinger white crowds. Like, you want to talk about people who are carefree, who are just out there to have a good time, not stuck up, not hugging the wall, not posing. Mm-hmm. Like, these motherfuckers are fun as hell. Like, yes, I totally get it. I totally get why there are black people out there that would look for these spaces, or they just don't care. You know, shout out to the black people who are traveling the world. They're going to Europe. They're going to Asia. They're going to Australia. They know they're going to places that don't necessarily have as many black subgroups, yeah, as many black spaces. But they're adventurous. They want to be around new cultures. They want to be around new communities. They want to have new experiences. They are quite the adventurous crew. And there are, and I feel like if you're in the lifestyle, you have to have a level of adventurousness, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's not so surprising, or it shouldn't be surprising, even though we don't talk about this very much, that there are black singles and there are black couples that are seeking, like, the black couples who came to PCAP absolutely loved it, even though there were like only four couples there that, yeah, were black. They loved it. They had such a good time. And I want to say that if you throw a good event, and we talked about this with Kate, mm-hmm, if you throw a good event that's fun, that's engaging, that's comfortable, that's free, that's welcoming, where it's all love and all positive vibes, nobody's going to give a fuck what the racial makeup was. Yeah. And I was really happy to hear that the black folks that came to this party, because sometimes I worry about that. Yeah. I'm worried about, mm-hmm, that with PCAP. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're telling people to come to this party, but we're not going to lie to you and say like, yo, you're going to find like a whole bunch of black people here. This is going to be like Mocha Fest. Nah. It's not going to be anything like Mocha Fest, motherfucker. Nope. It's going to be, there's going to be a, mm-hmm, lot more white people there. It's, mm-hmm, going to be like an 80-10 ratio.
90-10? Yeah. 80-10, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I think you're right. 90-10, my bad.
I mean, but I'm like, there's another 10%.
That's right. No, Bella's trying to be inclusive with her language. I appreciate, right, that. Don't forget there are Asians and Latinos, yes, in that motherfucker. You don't forget about them. But yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, just because it's a white space, black people aren't necessarily going to be uncomfortable with that. Like, I want to make sure people understand that, because, mm-hmm, I don't think we emphasize that enough. And just because it's an all black space doesn't necessarily mean that all black people are going to be comfortable in that space.
Nah, because some of y'all don't know how to act.
Some of y'all don't even, let me right, some of y'all don't know how to act, but I was recalling a party that we went to, mm, that was indeed very diverse, and it was indeed a black space. It was hosted by black people. Mm-hmm. We have never gone back. We've never gone back. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna tell you why. Mm. It wasn't because they didn't know how to act. It was because they didn't know how to have fun. So I'm gonna share one experience that I just recalled today, and, mm-hmm, I was like, it got me angry just thinking about it. So remember, we were playing Truth or Dare at this party. Mm-hmm. We're playing Truth or Dare, and you know, we're playing Truth or Dare, and like, the dares are really like fucking soft. Like,
yeah,
people are daring, like, you know, hugs and shit. It's just fucking dumb. And there's one dare that came out, and this is when I was done. I was done with the game. I was done with the party. Somebody dared this dude to, like, they, you know, the host had a life size like Santa, mm-hmm, in the house.
Yeah.
And they dared this dude to like give the Santa an erotic dance.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude was like, you know, he got the dare. They dared this nigga. Sorry. They dared this dude to give the lifestyle Santa, the life-size, the life-size Santa. It was like a porcelain or a blow-up thing. I don't know what it was. Give the motherfucker a lap dance. And this dude kept hesitating. And I'm like, why is this nigga hesitating? Like, I just wanted to get on with the next dare. It was an easy dare. Like, give the fucking Santa an erotic dance. And I remember, like, as I was thinking about it today, because I had went for a walk. As I was thinking about it today, I was like, Jay would have did that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Jay would have did that shit. Mickey would have did that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, Locke would have did that shit. I would have did that shit. Mm-hmm. Anybody at PCAP would have just did that shit. And this motherfucker's like, I don't know. That's stupid. But come on. We never went back to that party. Because,
well, there were several reasons.
Yeah, there were several reasons. But I think that, so we never went back to that party again. Black space. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't fun. It wasn't comfortable. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really that engaging. And we never went back. But there are, you know, there are white parties that we would, you know, there are white spaces that we would be happy to come back to. Yeah. And PCAP is one of those spaces. Like, it's a predominantly white crowd. I'm not going to lie to anybody. And this was more diverse than the last one.
It was.
But you will not be disappointed by an event like this, because so much love and care goes into making sure it's a quality event. And so, you know, this Bombers Bougie broadcast, this was really acknowledging that, you know, when we talk about black couples, when we talk about black singles, like, you know, we're not a monolith. We say it all the time. And I just want to give a shout out to all the black couples out there, whether you are interested in black folks or not, whether you are just about smash, whether you are just into smashing Karens and Tims exclusively, you still matter. Mm-hmm. We do not consider you a sellout. We are acknowledging your existence. PCAP is a great event, whether you are, what, regardless of what kind of spaces you're into, if you're into lifestyle spaces, if you're into fun, if you're into partying, if you're just into good vibes, PCAP is the place. They're going to be having another PCAP in Palm Springs. Listen, Palm Springs is a beautiful place to be, period. I'm actually really jealous because we're probably not going to be able to make it. Yeah. But it's happening on June 3rd through the 6th of 2022. It's going to be the biggest PCAP on record. And it's going to be dope. So if you can make your way to the West Coast, if you haven't been to Palm Springs, this is an excellent reason and excuse to go. I don't know what the world is going to look like in 2023. But if you can make it out there, do it. It's going to be awesome. And that is the Bombers Bougie broadcast.
Thank you, Bomber.
You're welcome. And now we're at that point in the show where we get to talk about Facebook fuck shit.
Hey, yo, what the fuck?
Get ready for some Facebook fuck shit.
Now, let me just put a disclaimer. I don't research this shit. I don't know if it's real, true, or what. Otherwise, I just look up the shit on Facebook and I tell y'all about it. So, you ready?
Yo, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this.
So, this is a roller coaster. Stay with me. An Ohio woman has been sentenced to involuntary manslaughter after her spouse was found dead minutes after he had performed oral sex on her.
Oh, shit. It was that bad?
The woman was arrested last year after calling 911 when her husband had a cardiac arrest while apparently being suffocated to death.
Oh. Oh, shit.
The woman told the 911 operator at the time that she was sitting on her husband's face while he was giving her cunnilingus when she realized his skin had changed color.
Oh my God, I think I saw a meme on this shit. Go ahead.
And I quote, "We were having sex and he started eating my pussy. I was just sitting on his face like 25 minutes when his legs turned a greenish blue color," she told 911 operator at the time in horror. According to her lawyer, her husband liked to insert his head inside his client's vagina. My client warned him on multiple occasions that it was dangerous, a dangerous practice.
Wait. His head into the vagina? So his head, his whole head?
Mind you, she's 480 pounds.
Oh, shit. This was a meme I saw on Instagram. I swear to God, I just saw a meme about that shit.
She was sentenced to 10 years and 6 months after he judged her sexual practices extremely dangerous behavior and completely reckless conduct for a woman of her size. To prove this, the prosecutor showed documents attesting that paramedics took at least 12 minutes to release the head of the husband from inside of the wife's genitals. The time of death is estimated to be 17 minutes before the 911 call and 59 minutes after the husband's head was removed from inside of the defendant's genitals. The husband was also hospitalized last year, only weeks after the couple's honeymoon, after this part is kind of gross, after large amounts of fecal matter had entered his lungs during oral anal intercourse, according to medical reports.
Wait, oral anal intercourse?
Like, he was giving her a rim job. He was eating her ass.
Oh, okay. Why would they call it oral anal? I'm sorry. I know this has nothing. I know this is stupid. But why would they call it oral anal intercourse if he was giving, like, is
because he's sticking his tongue in her asshole.
How the fuck did it end up in his lungs? Oh, I got so many questions.
I know, it's so many questions.
So
how did his head get inside her pussy, though? Like, was it really in her pussy, or was it just, like, in the fold? Like, was it just so much flesh that, I don't know, there's a lot of questions.
So,
I mean, also, everyone deserves love and sexual satisfaction, but goddamn.
So, I got a bunch of questions, but I just want to show you this picture.
Oh, uh-huh.
So, BBW... underscore party underscore life on Instagram has a picture that so accurately portrays this Facebook fuck shit.
Yeah.
We will link that in the description. So I understand now how the suffocation can happen. Clearly you can't breathe if your entire head is in a vagina.
Right. But he didn't give no signals. Like, he ain't, like, you know, tap her on the thigh or something like that. Like, you know, just let up, honey, for a minute so I can catch my breath. No?
Sitting on face. I mean, this goes a little bit beyond just sitting on a face. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just going to swallow your whole head. And it's like, you're just going to be in here, yeah, neck deep in my pussy. Wow.
I don't need it that much.
And then he's dead. Like, did she try to perform CPR? Did anybody try that? Like, his face was all covered in pussy juice.
Well, remember, they had to extract his head.
Oh, his head was stuck in her.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess after she realized he was dead, she kind of tightened up.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, so I guess she just wobbled her way to the phone and
I guess,
like, yeah, has this nigga's whole body just dragging on the floor, like, outside of pussy.
There are several questions. You're like,
I'm sorry.
So many questions.
Like, they extracted his head from her vagina. Mm-hmm. Damn. Okay, thanks for that Facebook fuck shit.
Oh, you're ever so welcome.
I want to give a quick shout out to all of our Patreons. We have Attitude Adjuster, Bedroom Bliss, Big Meat Main, Blasian Couple, Brown Girl, Camellia, Carlos, Chadwick, Chris and Crystal, Clifton, Neri, Darren, Demon, Dez, Dante, Texas Bama, Guan, Gil, J-Dub, Johan, Just Trying to Be Real, Cassandra, Kyle, Lene, Melody, Mitri, Mr. and Mrs. Graham, Quater, Raft, Raven, Red and G, Redonia, Ricky, Robert, Rose and Albert, Rizzy, Randy B, Suzanne, TJ, TY, T Money, Vision, Andrew, Red Wonder, GAUSAF69, Eastside Rider. Okay, so you're going to have to clear this one up for me because I feel like we met them at PCAP.
We did meet them at PCAP.
And what did they say about this name?
Because it's where they're from. So it's Dub because he's from Dublin, mm-hmm, and Don because she's from London. I think it's eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm, eight. I forget what the eight means.
Okay, yeah. So I was thinking it meant, like, donate, but maybe, I don't know.
No.
Okay, that's not, I said do donate, that's not right.
Oh, yeah, that's what you say. You say, you kept saying do donate, but it's dub don eight.
Dubbed, oh, it's a B.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What were you reading? Can you see?
It's a B. I have a D there.
Wow.
That's what was fucking me up.
So it was nice meeting you, dub don eight.
Yes. Crystal, Algernon DeKink, Black Dynamite 804, Kristen Cole, and Dawn. Thank you guys for supporting us. We hope you liked all of our recaps from Patreon. Those were fun to do. And yeah, comment, let us know what you think. For everybody else, we appreciate you listening in. Peace out, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please do check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Black N Kinky. You can also find us under the same name on Cassidy, APG, Amort Getaways, and Patreon. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube under Black and Kinky Lifestyle. Feel free to email us at blackkinkylifestyle@gmail.com or call and leave a voice message at 937-462-0744. Bye.
Black and Kinky, Black and Kinky,
Black and Kinky Lifestyle.